The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, cause I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. When the devil finished, Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, let your dog bite, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no."
Now you're
all
just
right.
Going off, Mike. Now you're
just going off. Yeah, he is. He's doing good. He even got son of a bitch in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Hey, 512-248-8252, 800-313-9443. Call in. We'll let you talk 5 minutes before we cut you off. Come on.
No. But,
hey.
You know, Billy, you know, when the 21st century first began, I used to read Thomas Friedman. He wrote that book, The World is Flat. I don't know if you read any part of that, but, you know, he was behind the Clinton, and he pretty much declared that globalization was the new economic order. But as far as I can see, the reign of globalization as we've known it is over. I mean, it's over.
That's what the article I read today about right-wing governments and everything. When they say right-wing, though, they don't mean what we normally think. They mean, like, nationalism.
Fascism.
You know, when we're making the wine, yeah, but it's coming. It's coming. I think what it is things truly, especially in America, I think, have truly gotten completely out of hand. Now you know, when let's just take it like this. When gay marriage came up, you know, at first that was a big deal. but it really wasn't that big a deal. It's, well, you know, okay. It's, you know, it really boiled down to people wanting to be able to do their taxes together, or like Sonny, my friend Sonny.
Right.
Well, same partner for 45 years, one of the directors of the American Red Cross, fed children in disaster areas and everything, and they were two homosexuals. They were two gay guys. And his partner died picking vegetables for the homeless food bank in a churchyard of a heart attack when he was 85. And under the laws of Texas then, it left Sonny destitute. Destitute. His partner's family showed up. Right. Well, he didn't get a pauper's grave. They burned him up. Yeah. They burned him up. And that was not right. But now, I'm going to jump on the other side of the issue here and everything. I understand that people that name different genders don't understand what they're saying. Now, the simple fact of the matter is, scientifically speaking, you have yin and yang, plus and minus, male and female. You know, that's the way it is. Now, you may have a female that thinks she feels like a male that thinks, you know, the other way, and all the deviations in between, but it confuses society. It is, you know, you say, okay, and I actually found out, Ted, I was reading a document a week ago where they dug up a skeleton in England or somewhere, and they did DNA on it, and this person was a woman, but she was buried with a sword and certain jewels that designated her as a warrior. And instead of an X,
chromosome or something,
she was an XYY, not an XY or a YY. She was an XYY, and I can understand. Okay, well, you got this big old Amazon girl that can knock your head off, you know, and I can see that. But those things are rare. They're rare.
But they are,
you know. They're out there.
I've met them.
I was married to a couple of them.
Yeah. That's the truth. The mother of your children. The mother of your children is definitely one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that, hey, now there's where you wake up and smell the coffee, right there.
Uh-huh.
When you married somebody for 7 or 8 years. And you get divorced because she leaves you, but and years later, you're at a party at our club, at our own clubhouse, okay? And you got this girl sidle up to you who wants to dance with you. She's halfway cute and everything, and you're out there dancing and talking and everything. She just kind of casually lets you know that she was your ex-wife's lover, and you sit there with your face hanging out, you know, and you think, how the hell did I miss that?
She said something about you one time, and I didn't know who she was. This is before y'all got married. She said something about you one time. It was derogatory, and so I said something insulting back, and she punched me so hard that it was literally I was outside of the building that the party was in, and somebody was asking me if I was okay. And I said, yeah, I think so. And they said, well, what happened to you? And I said, I don't know. Some guy with really big breath just punched the crap out of me. And I'm trying to get my senses back. And I think she concussed me, Billy. I'm not kidding you. I think I got a concussion from her.
Hey, y'all, Nolan. I just got a message here from the, let's see, Christian Film Festival down in Austin, Texas, and we've gotten some kind of an award for Gabe. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
We haven't filmed a single scene in that movie yet, and it's already getting awards.
Yeah, well you know, you remember that screening that I went to in Belton that they were going to show in Iran about the something in the past. I really can't remember that. There's a story out of the Bible about a guy who loses his way on the path, and he gets lost, and then he gets led back to the path, and he finds heaven, but not before he's lost everything and everybody in his life. So they're keeping an eye on Gabe. The Christian right has got they got their feelers out, and they're looking for stuff. So I expect that they may even contribute money to the making of it, Billy.
Well, that's what's some technical stuff here. We've been rocking along here pretty good, but what Gabe is, and Vic and I were talking about this today. That was his lightkeeper, but I made a mistake. He's got Gabe in there submitted, and it's getting some awards, but it was his lightkeeper that was doing that. He wrote a film, got done, called The Lightkeeper. He's taken 3 or 4 awards on that, and Vic is the one that's writing the screenplay for Gabe. So I correct myself on that. I'm not taking his thunder away, but we're getting, he's got it submitted for several things. And Gabe,
back in the old days, who'd ever thought a thing like that, you know?
No, it just popped up. You know, I picked up the phone one day and called him, and I said, I got this book I'm writing on and everything. And he read part of it, you know, and he said, hey, I think I can put that in the movie, you know? And this guy's got a track record, okay? And I said, well, whatever you can do. And he just completely rewrote the whole plot. Just completely, the man is a genius. He rewrote the whole plot and everything. And like I said, I correct myself. I didn't have my glasses on and a little fine print down there. He took 3 awards on The Lightkeeper, which is his movie. One of his movies, one of the 9, you know. And Gabe is following right along the same track. He's got a woman in New York that's doing an edit on it, and it's been submitted to something called the Red River group down in Austin, and then a group over in Europe. And far beyond me. I don't understand all he's doing, but I know he's doing it. Name actors are going to be in it. That's going to be where Puck is going to play the girl, Ashley Johnson. My great-grandfather is a character in there, Porter and everything, and I play Porter in the movie. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting. But what we're trying to do, going right back to this gender thing and all this confusion and everything, we're trying to get young people interested in just, you know, regular, everyday belief sets. If they want to believe this, okay. If you want to believe that, that's okay. But you got to center on something. I grew up in a home in Shreveport with my grandmother teaching me when I was 5 or 6 years old. And she didn't believe, she was a staunch Southern Baptist, but she did not believe in the parting of the Red Sea. She did not believe in Adam and Eve, all this stuff. And she would give me, now this is an old-timey Louisiana woman, fellas, okay? She gave me scientific reasons, but she still believed in God. Still, God did it, but here's how he did it. She believed in evolution. The first time I heard of evolution, it was from my grandmother in 1956, you know? And she said, we did come from other species. We did evolve, but it says in the Bible that one of our days is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years of God's time is like one of our days. And so he can take all the time he needs. If he wants to take a clump of dirt and make it into Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he wants to take 1 billion years to do it, he's got time. And I've always accepted that, you know, that, yeah, God is bigger than any book. He's bigger than any book. And these people that wrote the book, they were trying to explain the cosmos. And I say this, it sounds rude, but it's literally the truth. You take the Bible, the Quran, the Book of Mormon, and what you got is a goat herder's guide to the universe right there. But they're really trying to understand, you know, how we came to be. We came from somewhere. Something created this, you know, something did. When one of the editors of the book, the book Someday, which is what Gabe is based on, is the book we're writing called Someday. One of the editors is a lady up in Salt Lake who's a Temple Mormon, and she's helping us keep it straight with the church so we don't insult them and all that kind of stuff. But I've talked to a lot of Temple Mormons. They don't believe in golden tablets, but they believe that Joseph Smith did find something on the hill that he struck to, you know, and we all do that. We all have, you've got to believe in something. It comes back, Ted, to what I talk about, the God hole. In a lot of my articles, a lot of my books, you're born with a big vacant space in your head, the God hole, and you have to fill it up with something. Now, you fill it up with God, or you can fill it up with science, or you can fill it up with materialism or whatever, but you got to fill it up because you got to have a reason to live and a reason to know why you're here. Otherwise, there's your suicide rate right there. People who are directionless. Go ahead.
I've got a question for you. You know, St. Augustine was coming up.
Please ask, my son.
Well, Father, St. Augustine, when he was developing the ontological argument, began with this sentence, and that is that there must be some agency that is greater than man himself. Now, that's the beginning of the ontological argument. The beginning of the ontological argument is that there's got to be something, some power, that is greater than man, because man could not possibly create the universe. Man is a product of the universe. And so that's how it begins. Now, from there, there's this progression of thought. And I've always kind of thought this, and that is that, you know, Jesus himself, I'm one of those Christians that thinks that what you do is you cut the Old Testament off and you call that a history book. And if you want to read that, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a good idea. There's a lot of beautiful stuff in it, you know. There's a lot of ugly stuff in it, too. But it's just, it's basically a war about history, the history of violence and conquest, and, you know, and there's some beautiful stuff in there, too. But it is essentially a history book. But if you're a Christian, there's a beautiful thing that was said by somebody, I cannot remember who it was, but it really means, it's one of the best lines I've ever heard in my life, and that is that faith is a commitment to pay the price without knowing what the cost may be. Now, that is absolutely true, which means that you don't need to believe in some God that you cannot know. So I read the New Testament, and I read about the apostles and Jesus wandering around out there in the middle of nowhere, and they're looking for God and where God's house is, where's God, you know, and they find this place that is real stormy and everything, you know, the sun rises in the west over there, and they're thinking, this must be it. Let's build a temple to God here. And Jesus said, are you crazy? If you build a temple here, God will cast the stones down upon your head. You know, if this is close to God, we must get as far away from here as we can, because we're not meant. God, if God meant for us to be close to Him and know Him, then He would show Himself to us. And that makes sense. That made a lot of sense to me when I read that. It really did. I thought to myself, well, you know that. You know, I think that St. Augustine had it right in that. I'm going to go to the Constitution now. I'm not the Constitution, but rather the Pledge of Allegiance. I believe in America as being one nation under God. It just doesn't say which God, you know. It doesn't say which God or what that God is like or anything. It's just one nation under God, one nation under something greater than us. And we're united under that.
Yeah, I was listening to a rabbi, and he said that the understanding of the Jewish faith, you had to understand that their theory is not to rise to God, but to make earth comfortable and more welcoming to God here. That's why he made it. And I didn't understand it all the way, but that's what the guy said.
I don't think rabbis know a whole lot myself personally.
They talk a good game.
They do. They do. They really do. But that whole Ark of the Covenant thing, and that whole we own God because we invented Him thing, you know, it gets under the skin, and I think sometimes that. I'm glad that there was a time in my life that I thought that Israel was a mistake. I really did. I thought it was a terrible mistake. I looked at the Oslo agreements and I thought, let me see, the way people breed, and there's this many people of Jewish descent living in this place, and they're coming every day from all over the world to live in Zion, and they're all going to have babies at this rate, and the Oslo agreements contain them within this area right here, that's going to result in disaster. And it has. It has resulted in a terrible disaster.
Same thing. I was talking about the Mormons. You know what? Ted, you've been up there with me. You know what they call Utah when you're in Utah? The country of Deseret. They call the country of Deseret Zion. You know?
Right. And you...
And if you don't...
Are a Gentile.
Your children don't drink out of the same water fountain. You know, and they really do that. I mean, I hate to say it, but they really do. But they're wonderful people.
When your wife moved up there, this is a story that our listeners must hear. When Billy's ex-wife moved up there with the grandchildren, okay? So when they moved up there with the kids, they went to school, and literally, they were labeled as black. They were. Please, you proceed, Billy. You know the story. The story.
I talked to an old bishop up there, and I noticed that my kids, my grandkids, when they went to the boys' club, or girls' club, that they were segregated. You know, they were segregated. And I was talking, I said to old Bishop one time, I said, y'all got a real big segregation thing going up here. Oh, no, not actually. I said, well, it's not just black people. Oh, we have black people. I said, yeah, I've seen two of them coming through town. What you're doing is you don't have any black people. So you pick some of us and you make us the black people.
That's exactly what they do.
Yeah. They pay the devil to believe like that. When you go to some of their houses and they got a picture of an old lady on the wall, you know, obviously a very old picture with a very old lady in it, and you'll say, and which one is that? Oh, that's my great grandmother. She died at Harms Mill. And if you don't know Mormon history, you don't know what Harms Mill is. Harms Mill. That's where they call them the wolf packs. And a wolf pack would come by, and they would burn a Mormon town out. And they'd get all the women and children, and they'd put them in the barn, and bar the door, and set it on fire. And that's what a wolf pack did. And the biggest one was at Harms Mill.
Except for the ones that were under the age of 6. If they could not speak.
If they could not speak English, or couldn't speak. Understand, you know, they were that young, they would let them live. With the Mountain Meadows Massacre, same thing. Porter, my great-grandfather, Brigham wanted him to go down to this wagon train, and he knew there was going to be children involved and would not go. He got some whiskey, he rode down into the Escalante, and got drunk. So Wild Bill Hickman went down there, and they killed everyone in the wagon train that was old enough to speak. And the 17 babies were saved. Okay.
Yeah, Wild Bill got one of them.
Let's see here. Hold on.
Hickman got one of them.
There, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, good. this headset finally went out. 17 babies were saved, and they were distributed to the families down there near St. George. And then later, a year or so later, Porter, my guy, went down there and gathered the babies up and took them back to Arkansas for their families. But these people, there was a war on. And now this is where sometimes when, say, you know, the very first amendment of the Constitution is that you're allowed to worship ever how you want to. But it didn't work like that, you know. And so they were shot and burned and all this kind of stuff. And we're still living, that those natural human prejudices are still there. They're still there. We still, you know, look down our, we have a tendency to look down our nose at people who are different from us. You know, what do you say, Ted?
Well, I say that, that's always been the case. There's always been the case of us and the other. And I think that if I was an alien and I was in a space vessel and I came upon our world and I looked down on it and I saw how it was a bunch of continents that were separated by vast expanses of sea, that I would be looking at a planet of war. I'd be looking at a planet of colonialism. If I was far enough advanced that I could build a spaceship, I would be far enough advanced to understand how those things work. And so the Mormons had been the target of people who took advantage of their otherness for a long time. And so when they found their own Zion and Salt Lake City and Utah, eventually Utah, Deseret. I mean, wait, you got to give old, who was the guy that succeeded,
Joseph?
Who was, huh?
The one that succeeded Joseph?
Yeah.
That was Brigham. Brother Brigham.
Brigham, yeah. You got to give Brigham Young. You got to give Brigham Young credit for thinking big. You know, when he thought of Deseret, he didn't think of Utah.
No.
Deseret was this enormous place that extended down into Mexico, man. I mean, it was big.
Everything east of Washington D.C. The boy thought big. The boy thought big.
He did. If he'd had an army, that was anything near the size of just our militias in the east, we'd all be worshiping the Mormon temples right now.
Hey, but, I'll tell you how bad them people can be. I can't remember the president. It was Henry. Anyway, one of the presidents in 1858 decided to send 1/3 of the United States Army to take over Utah and civilize them down, you know, and everything. And they got out there, and for about a year to 18 months, they fought my great-grandfather Porter and his people, okay? After 18 months of fighting those guys, they decided it might be easier to just go back to the United States and fight the Civil War.
Listen, since it seems like we got the airwaves to ourselves for a second.
Yeah, everybody's good to talk to us. Yeah, I know.
Well, to me, this is like a conversation between you and me, like we always have.
Yeah.
So, but I just want to ask you. My intention was is that we'd come and talk about.
Here comes the commercial, man, and hang on to that thought.
I will.
Where are you, Pat? Come on now. We done talk religion for an hour.
Oh man, you're gonna conjure the devil.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Last night I dug your picture out from our old dresser drawer. I set it on the table and I talked to it till 4. I read some old love letters right up till the break of dawn. Yeah, I've been sitting alone digging up bones. Then I went through the jewelry and I found our wedding rings. I put mine on my finger and I gave yours a fling. Across this lonely bedroom of our recent broken home, yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that's better left alone. But I'm resurrecting of love that's dead and gone. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones. And I went through the closet and I found some things in there, like that pretty negligee that I bought you to wear. And I recall how good you looked each time you had it on. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones. I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yeah, tonight I'm sitting alone digging up bones. sitting alone, digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Things that's better left alone.
It's Ted and I've been digging up some bones tonight.
Yeah, Mike is more than just a producer. He's an oracle as
He's
well.
He's a prophet.
Yeah, he is. It's true. Well, let's go. Let's stop digging up bones and let's talk about what is actually in the news.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, one of our commercials mentions the Great Reset, and used to, I would instinctively, just like I did with Paul the other night, you hit me with that, some of that stuff, and I instinctively get on the other side. But I started listening lately. We are going, yeah, right. We are going through a Great Reset. History is resetting, and that's what history does. Okay. It goes right. About 200 to 300 years, rocking along, you know, and all of a sudden you don't have the Roman Empire anymore. You got the Middle Ages. And then you go in the Middle Ages for a little while and everything, and all of a sudden you've got the Renaissance comes along.
The Restoration,
you know, and then you come up with America and all this kind of stuff like that. And we've been rocking along for about 300 years now, and we've had our day in the sun. And not that America's going to fall, but I guarantee you, America's going to change.
Well, let's talk about your favorite theory, and that is the theory of the pendulum.
Oh yeah. Now, you want me to explain?
Billy's favorite theory is the theory of the pendulum. So, Billy, mm-hmm. expound on the pendulum for a moment.
In a lot of my writings and everything, in a lot of my books and everything, I explain the political pendulum. And the political pendulum swings back and forth. It never stops in the middle. Everybody wants it to stop in the middle. Everybody would like to have a perfectly balanced social society, you know, and everything, but it never works like that. It goes all the way to the right, which is where we're heading right now. And it goes all the way back to the left, which is where we'll be going. But it never stops in the middle. And this is just the nature of the beast. It's just the nature of the human creature. We went with Ronald Reagan, we were all the way to the right. And then with Clinton, we were all the way back to the left, and now we're swinging. Here come Donald Trump, right. You know, and we're saying, people, oh, well, you're wrong. No, I'm not wrong. It never stops in the middle. Never stops in the middle, okay? That's it.
not unless the clock hadn't been wound. Now, in which case it will stop in the middle. But see, what we have is we have the pendulum swinging back, from globalization to an economic situation that is characterized more by local and regional factors than it is, you know, the factors of a world, which is too unstable. When you think about it, this is why I was against Hillary, and why I got kicked out of the essay club that I used to belong to online. Actually, I'm not going to mention the name of this essay club because I don't want to be accused of name dropping, but I wrote essays for them. And I was kicked out because I wrote an essay that was critical of Hillary Clinton. And the reason I was critical of Hillary was because she had made that speech about it takes a village to raise a child, which offended me. I was offended by that notion that it took a village to raise a child. How dare anybody say that a parent or two parents cannot raise their child? You know, why must they have the input of the entire damn village, you know, to raise their child? So this that's what led me to joining hands with a more conservative element, so that I could get my ideas out there. Now, my ideas are still liberal. I'm still a liberal guy. You know, I still believe. See, I don't believe that the world is flat. In fact, I think it's pretty bumpy, you know, and I believe that this fragmentation that we're seeing now has been coming for a long time. I really do. I think that Milton Friedman and the people that have come after him, and this economic philosophy of prioritizing efficiency over resilience and profit, over local prosperity, has produced a massive inequality, persistent insecurity, and distrust in our institutions. We distrust our institutions. Chris Hedges wrote an entire book about the death of liberalism, and it was because what he was talking about was once the liberal institutions were gone, liberalism was gone, and he was absolutely correct about that. We have very few liberal institutions left, and we're trying our best to get rid of those. Education is one. Public schools, liberal institution. What are we trying to do at the top? We're trying to get rid of.
Yeah. Hey, Ted.
Yeah.
Our salvation has arrived.
Has it?
Mike, put Frank on.
Good evening. Good evening. Or maybe I should say good morning, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
We only have a few minutes, but you just kind of triggered something in me. When Hillbilly made that statement, she didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
Right.
It takes a village, first of all. And that's another story, her diabolical nature and character, but that's something else. But that phrase or something similar to it goes way back into antiquity. In Africa, because it doesn't mean that community has control over your children. What it means is that the community can take care of your children if the children need to be taken care of. So she used it for political gain, which is pretty stupid and distorted. But that's what it means. For example, if you have a community, when I say community, and you got to, we have to change our way of thinking about everything, so many of things. But if you have, for example, a community that has casualties of war, they've gone through warfare, and some of the men are gone, who's going to take care of the children? Not simply the woman. The woman needs a partner to help her to take care of the children. And the community rallies around that woman, and or the if it's an individual murder, then the person who murdered the child's father has to take care of that child forever. So that's the meaning of it. It has nothing to do with her madness. Look, you have to understand who you're talking about. She's
well,
not.
Oh, I do.
On a number
it's
of
like, it's like this, but say in New York, in the Bronx or Brooklyn or anything, you have a situation where it's your neighborhood, and everybody in a particular neighborhood really knows everybody, just like a small town. And like you said, that something happens and the person needs help or anything, the neighborhood, the people around you that are like you pitch in and they help. What I dread and what I watch out for is where you call in something like the CPS, strangers, the government comes in. The government's going to take care of your kids. That's the danger. The government's going to help. The government's there to help. No.
Well, that happens is because that's when you don't have a cohesive community. That the government should take out take care of the child. If a family loses a number of the male children, and the women need help, and you don't have a cohesive community, well then of course the government should help take care of that family. You know, and I understand the C word is so scary to so many Americans. The C word meaning communism.
Yeah.
Most people don't even know how to spell it, by the way. They use three M's instead of two. But that's another story altogether. So we've got to, our definitions about things are all wrong, and they've been distorted because people, when they run for office, every two or four years, then they're gonna take a phrase and they're gonna take a saying or meme, and they're gonna use it for their own benefits. But most of them have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, now, Frank, I was hoping that you would call in tonight. And the reason for it is that you recently had an incident involving the CPS with a woman up there, right there in your neighborhood, or close to your neighborhood, who had been working long hours. She had to take the subway. So I think she had like two or three jobs. And she'd never had any trouble with the police. She wasn't using drugs. She didn't have any criminals in the home or anything like that. But the next thing that happened is the CPS came down on her like a hammer. And it was because she was working all the time and having the older kids in the family looking after the younger kids in the family.
Now, that happens so often.
Well, is that a story that made its way into your consciousness or your news cycle there?
Well, I didn't see that particular story, but I've seen it play itself out at the community level many, many times. And what would happen is if there was no grandparent around, then it would be a neighbor, a close neighbor. It would be or a minister would designate someone to help out. In other words, there was a network of people who would do what they could within the legal emissary. Boy, I'm telling you, if you get rid of lawyers, that might help as well. But that's another matter.
First, we kill all the lawyers. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Or liars. Liars, I should say. So there's a neighborhood connection that was distorted by government bureaucracies. But the point I wanted to make is that there's a difference between a community and a neighborhood. A community is people band together and they support each other. A neighborhood could be enemy. You, me, Mike. We could all live in different neighborhoods. We could be living next to each other, but we're in a different neighborhood. That's how bizarre the nation state has become.
Right.
I think we talked about last week about the territorial state, that the United States is starting to become a territorial entity. And we're going to have to do something. Something's going to have to change because if nothing else, the 65 Spanish-speaking and or illegal aliens are going to make change. 65 million of them are going to start their own communities, nation, and those of us who are raised in a traditional way, those folks that call up RBN and say we need a nation and of our own, well, okay. Yeah, that's wishful thinking.
It is wishful thinking. Yes, you're right.
Well, when you talk about the Hispanics, they have a tradition among them that's very local. I put it real mildly, very local. And very nationalistic. Their nation is wherever they're at together. That's why, and like I've said about New York, when I was up there, and you go down on Mulberry Street during Columbus Day or whatever, and they've all got their little push carts out there, and everybody's partying, they're eating sausage and all that, but they got American flags flying. Well, in Texas, it don't work like that. They got Mexican flags flying. You know, it's a whole different philosophy, and nobody wants to assimilate down in the valley down here. Like they, when the people got off of the boat from Italy and they went to Ellis Island to become an American citizen, they wanted to be Americans.
You go to Laredo and God help you if you don't speak Spanish, my friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right, Frank.
There's one question I want to ask both of you. Are there areas of Texas where the peso is the only means of currency?
No. Absolutely not.
You're wrong about that, Billy.
You think so?
Whether it's underground or not.
There is a small town, and it is actually the oldest town in Texas where the peso holds sway over the dollar. This town, I've been there, it's riddled with tunnels that go trails with four wheelers on them, where there's all kinds of border crossings going on. And the peso is the currency that is used there most frequently. And if you don't know Spanish there, you are truly and well.
the reason why I'm asking, because I just remembered that in 2005, Alex Jones mentioned that on his radio program, and I didn't believe it. So he said, all you have to do is you call up this number and ask for a pizza. And if you don't speak Spanish, you're not going to get that pizza.
Yeah.
That's actually more than one community.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I will apologize, because the only time when I cross the border down there and go to a bar and everything, they take dollars for beer. So that was where I was basing my deal on. Go
ahead. Well, I spent a couple of months in Oaxaca in a safe house down there. And I'm going to tell you right now, the thing about, you don't have to go to Oaxaca. Go down to Laredo and cross over into, just cross over into Nuevo Laredo. And you will, and the first thing you're going to notice is that everybody is looking at you. Or it seems that way. It seems that way to you. You know, it really does. It seems that way. And that's because quite a few people are looking at you. And that's because the cartel, the police, there's certain lots of gangs down there that are separate from the cartels and the police, and they are all looking for people that don't belong in the area. And I'm telling you, it is the most unsafe place to be if you're not from there than you can imagine. You can't even imagine the fear I felt. The only time I was ever that scared was when I was in New Jersey one time, and it was right across the Pennsylvania-New Jersey line. There was a place I went. I went there to buy a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue from a liquor store that reputedly sold it for its actual value.
Hey, Ted.
Which it did. Yeah.
Ted, your best friend's online. Hi, Pat.
I'm Eddie. I have so many of them. How many?
Can call a frog up out of a well on a cold
winter. Come on, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
The devil's here.
The devil's here.
the devil wears Prada.
I used to be called that. This bad devil.
Do you wear Prada?
Well, not really. I don't bother me. It didn't bother me then. Don't bother me now.
Don't worry about it.
You did trigger in me when you talked about Christmas and all.
All that we said for 2 hours, and that's all that triggered you?
Well, I like to be correct. I haven't talked about it. I have books about it, but I haven't talked about it because, you know, we got too many other problems. But
right.
The fact is, in Jeremiah chapter 10, it tells you don't do Christmas trees, and that's where Santa Claus comes from. He said, I'll sit on the sides of the north, but God sits on the side of the north. So he if you go to when I was a little in Memphis, Men, they had some really big Christmas parades. And they always had Santa's house there. And they'd park, and the little kids would go up. But he's always on a throne. Always on a throne. You can't just walk up to him. You got to walk up to him. Uh-huh.
It's a mythological person from Germany, and that's okay if a person feels... Pat, uh-huh. I have a... do you have internet access?
Yeah. I was trying to look up stuff while I was waiting to talk to y'all.
All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look up something for me. This is your homework assignment, okay?
Wait a minute, I'm looking for a pen.
Don't get mad at me now. We have to hurry up because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes left, Pat. Go ahead.
Oh, your show's over. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, no, don't go away. Hey, listen to what Frank's saying, but then you go ahead.
You ready, Pat? You got a pencil or a pen?
No. Yeah, now I do, yeah.
All right, look up. Now, I don't know how you look up stuff, whether it's Wikipedia, whether it's Google, Yahoo, whomever, whichever you choose.
I'm being Conservapedia.
That limits you. But anyway... Try and see if this works. Just look up, type in Black Madonna and Child.
What?
I know what's coming here.
F-A-C-T-S?
No, last.
B-L-A-C-K, Black Madonna.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
We're at the
end of our rope here. Thank y'all for calling in. We need to call you a little earlier than next time. We did good tonight. We didn't get fired.
Wanted to brag on Mike a little bit, but he didn't get a chance.
Yeah. I'm waiting on Schwarzenegger to run that winch down the road, and we're out of here. Oh, and in the world of surveillance, the man with the third eye is king, so educate yourself. There, okay.
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Gonna get the green light from Mom!
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.